for Not Monday. And right away, it's a better thing. For some children in this world, it's their second day of real school ever. Still far too soon. Yes, I will agree with you on that. But in the meantime, I should let you know that we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. Available to all the places that folks like us are. The folks that we'll be bringing to you today, because I like saying folks, is someone that tries to stress to people it's not just how you do the job, it's how you present yourself doing the job. That there is podcasting for Siegfried.
You guys never underestimate the power of a dramatic entrance.
Every time, every single time, it gets attention and it makes people know your name. Hi, everyone. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Don't you want to talk first? You know, banter back and forth to show me your innate superiority?
It's what I've been saying online lately. Hi, everyone. What happened, sir?
Hello, everybody. In 1455, this is the traditionally accepted anniversary date for the publication of the Gutenberg Bible, the first book printed using movable type. Fun fact, when I was a child, I actually got to see a few pages of it. It was held in Trier on display.
1893, Rudolf Diesel invents a German patent for the Rudolf engine. He will produce an actual prototype of the engine for testing July of 83. The engine is designed to be fueled by powdered coal injected with compressed air. Those jobs are going to stay.
1896, the Tootsie Roll is introduced to the U.S. by Austrian immigrant Leo Hirschfeld at a small store in New York City. He names the chewy chocolate candy, oh, not the dance, okay, after his five-year-old daughter Clara, whose nickname is Tootsie. The Tootsie Roll is America's first individually wrapped penny candy.
1910, the first radio contest is held in Philadelphia, Philadelphia, and back then they knew not to make people drink water without going to the bathroom.
1927, the 69th U.S. Congress approves Public Law No. 632, an act for the regulation of radio communications and for other purposes, otherwise known as the Radio Act of 1927. The act recognizes broadcasters' right to free speech and creates the FRC, or Federal Radio Commission, which will later be renamed the Federal Communications Commission, or the FCC.
1941, plutonium was first produced and isolated by Dr. Glenn T. Seaborg. Historical records of the incident do not record whether or not Seaborg subsequently manifested superpowers.
But it did power his time travel device. 1954, the first mass vaccinations of children against polio with the vaccine developed by Jonas Salk begins in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You know, polio, that thing that goes around every year that we all have to contend with, and, oh, wait.
1956, at a cosmic event known as the Great Flare, the Earth is bombarded with a burst of protons and other nuclei from a solar flare. Subsequently, it is not known whether or not anyone got superpowers.
1975, in response to the energy crisis, daylight savings time begins nearly 2 months early in the U.S.
1987, supernova 1987A is seen in the large Magellanic cloud in the constellation Dorado. It is the brightest supernova of the 20th century and the first supernova to be visible to the naked eye since 1604.
1988, the body of homecoming queen Laura Palmer is discovered on a riverbed in Twin Peaks.
Never forget that day. 1997, a large fire occurs aboard the Russian space station Mir. The fire spreads from the lithium perchlorate candles used to supply oxygen to the station. According to a later account by American astronomer Jerry Lineker, the fire nearly forced the crew to abandon the station.
2000, CNET News reports that Fry's Electronics has threatened to file a lawsuit against Garrett Mackey for establishing a site with the domain name FrySad.com or FriesAd.com and posting scanned copies of Fry's newspaper advertisements on the site.
2004, The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King becomes the second film in cinema history to gross over $1 billion in box office receipts following the 1997 blockbuster Titanic, which just went on and on.
2008, a U.S. Air Force stealth bomber crashes during takeoff at Anderson Air Force Base in Guam. The first operational loss of a B-2 bomber at a cost of approximately $1.4 billion.
So we only have like two of those, right? 2009, the British Journal of Dermatology publishes an article by scientists from the Department of Dermatology, University Hospitals, and Medical School of Geneva, Switzerland. The article outlines the case of a 12-year-old girl who was admitted to Swiss hospital with intensely painful sores in the palm of her hands. They dubbed this new skin condition PlayStation Palmar Hidradenitis. She recovered after abstaining from playing video games for 10 days.
And sometime in the 6100s, the Great Revolt, a human rebellion against the machines, forcing human beings to use their minds for development and breeding. This leads to the formation of mental training schools and the discovery of the spice melange, both of which would be the turning point for the human race.
Spice is the life. Birthdays?
Dakota Fanning is 27, Jane in Twilight, and The Runaways.
Samara Weaving is 29 from Monster Truck. She was Heather in Ash vs. Evil Dead, Bill and Ted Face the Music, and in the upcoming Snake Eyes, the G.I. Joe one.
Emily Blunt is 38 from Looper and Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, the movie that has a better name. Josh Gad is 40. He's Olaf in Frozen, The Comedians, The Internship.
Kelly McDonald's 45. Helena Ravenclaw in Deathly Hallows 2 and Merida in Brave.
Niecy Nash is 51 from Reno 911, Scream Queens, and you would just love to have her at your poker party?
Oh my goodness, yes. Special Agent Dana Catherine Scully is 67. I think she runs around with some curmudgeonly guy who's always saying, oh, aliens.
Patricia Richardson is 70, best known from Home Improvement.
Born this day no longer with us in 1868, W.E.B. Du Bois, American sociologist, historian, and activist.
1889, Victor Fleming, the American director who gave us Wizard of Oz and Gone with the Wind.
1932, Majel Barrett. She was the original number one. And of course, in Star Trek, was the computer voice in just about all of the Star Treks and Laxana Troi in Star Trek The Next Generation. Here's an interesting thing. She actually sat down and recorded an entire phonetic dictionary so that way she can continue to be the voice of the computer in Star Trek.
1940, Peter Fonda from Easy Rider, Future World, and was one hell of a demon in Ghost Rider.
On CBS, we've got a rerun of NCIS, FBI, and FBI's Most Wanted.
ABC's got a new To Tell the Truth, Blackish, Mixedish, and To Tell the Truth.
NBC, new Young Rock, Keenan, This Is Us, and Under Pressure to Steal More Drugs, Wolf is forced into an ethical dilemma in which he is turned against his patient on a new Nurses.
Fox has a new The Resident, and Bright's sister sends his personal life into disorder and forces him to both deal with her and protect his mother from a dangerous secret on a new Prodigal Son.
Ooh. CW Clark Kent and Lois Lane face the new challenge of dealing with the stress, issues, and complexities of being modern working parents following years of battling megalomaniac supervillains, alien invaders, and evil monsters on the premiere of Superman and Lois.
Freeform has Shrek, which is just as good as that, I guess.
AMC has The Bourne Identity.
FX has Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is simply one of the finest comic films ever made, if not the.
Oh, yes. FXX, Simpsons Marathon with The Princess Guide, Sky Police, and Waiting for Duffman.
Sky Police, in color. FXM, Straight Outta Compton.
IFC has Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
BBC America is showing Troy. They showed it yesterday somewhere. They're showing Troy a lot lately, and I don't know why. Is it Troy Day coming up? I have no idea.
Sundance is about a year too late with this prescient movie, Outbreak.
Sci-fi, just a bit too soon, Armageddon.
CBS, Ye Olden Days of Misery on a new The Misery Index.
Science Channel, Ancient Unexplained Files, Egypt, but tonight we're watching the Hallmark Channel. A cook from a small town enters a culinary contest and decides to pretend to be his twin, a chef who works in the big city. But problems arise when he takes an interest in a woman who runs the contest and she believes that he's a married man. Jeremy Jordan and Jessica Lowndes star in Mix Up in the Mediterranean.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Stefan, tired of being disliked by, well, everyone, decides to throw a party at the hotel. Turns out, his party is the same night that Chad, a former high school rival, and his friends are staying at the hotel, and they decide to crash his party. Poor Stefan. His school spirit was erased a long time ago. He cannot believe these folks are here. This is a million to one shot. He kind of wishes he had checked into a room and just watched some blue movies. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Do you mind? I want to check my email.
Hey, GRD. Do you get more than one guest per week? Because based on what I've heard so far, I'm going to say that Chad and Abby are on Amanda's by the sea. The knockoff of Fawlty Towers, starring the late B. Arthur. But I'm sure tomorrow will tell me that I am completely wrong. So if I am not allowed to guess more than once, I haven't guessed yet. I just want you to know that. That is from Tony. Well, thank you, Tony. I know. Please guess as much as you want during a week. That's totally, totally fine. And I think you figured it out that because I said it and there's no beep. No, Amanda's by the Sea is not where we're going this time, and I guess that means I have to change what I was going to do next week. If you've got an idea that you'd like to submit, by all means, drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or of course, in a voicemail or text message, either will be fine. Just use the numbers.
510-GRD. dear girl.
Ooh, but I can still do pain with John Larroquette.
This is Travis from twitch.tv/TravisTavernTalk, and I'm a writing beast. I write fantasy like the Downfall series and the Portal series, sci-fi like my Silverant Smith and Ethium, and non-fiction like my 27 Thoughts on Life series, all on my live stream. You can find these books and more on Amazon.com or go to bit.ly/TravisBooks. That's bit.ly/TravisBooks.
Hi, this is James Hong. Listen to Gig Radio Daily today.
And tomorrow. And pretty much any day you feel good with. I think that's the kind of thing we're going for.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Pshaw, I say to you in that. So what is out there today that we're going to add to our collections?
Well, in our TV section, we've got Star Trek The Next Generation, Season 1.
I like how you kept that out of classic TV so you didn't have to feel old. DC
Stargirl. This year's the last year.
The complete first season. Go, Stargirl.
In our collections section, we've got Emma and Shakespeare in Love, a two-movie collection.
You know, I liked Emma. I liked it better when it was Clueless. Probably not good in any way, shape, or form. We have Unleashed, a dog dancing story.
We also have Rick Springfield's Hard to Hold from 1984.
You better love somebody. In our re-release department, Madonna, Truth or Dare. That movie only sold because she was topless in it.
100%. Of course, now if I want to see something like that, I'd rather go to the archaeology exhibit at the nearest museum. We've also got Monsters versus Aliens.
I also got a sling blade with biscuits and mustard.
Mm. We've also got Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
That was so fun. Train Spotting.
We've got Strictly Ballroom.
And we have View from the Top.
After that, though, it's really important that you pick up Richard Iowade's book, Iowade on Top. It is the 256-page definitive book about what he claims is the best cabin crew dramedy ever filmed, A View from the Top. Yes, 256 pages. It's real.
And our movies department, we have Centigrade. It's the one in the middle.
We've also got The Croods, New Age.
But if anything, we're getting a story about an alien ship that's hit by an asteroid and crashes on Earth in a very small town and features an alien who has to face off against a sheriff who must stop this rampaging alien from killing the residents of his town. Tom Griffith and Jamie Zamarro star in the sort of remake of The Alien Factor, this time called Night Beast.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. George R.R. Martin is executive producing a television adaptation of Roger Zalazani's Roadmarks novel for HBO. Kalanda Vasquez, whose previous credits include executive producing Fear, The Walking Dead, as well as the writing credits of Star Trek Discovery, are bringing the adaptation to the network.
Good, good. George should have a new project since he finished with all of his others.
Published in 1979, the novel is about a highway that can be used to travel through time. It links all timelines and places together for the people who were lucky enough to discover it.
But I thought where we're going, that it's someplace that we don't need roads.
The news is a good, bad thing moment, as many of us are still waiting for Martin to finish The Winds of Winter, the long-awaited sixth novel in his Game of Thrones series. Sorry, A Song of Fire and Ice series.
Oh, be patient. It's only been 10 years.
As for that book, we're not sure how much longer the wait might be, and this new project for HBO will be another item to keep Martin from finishing the next installment in his beloved novel series, unless, of course, he is developing it to learn where the highway is so he can actually go finish the book so HBO would know what to do with the Night King. I mean, other than still having Arya kill him, because that stays the same.
Yeah. Stephen King confirmed he and J.J. Abrams are developing a horror anthology series.
Ooh, so it's going to be filled with intriguing clues, many of which will be forgotten when an alcoholic writer blinds us with lens flare?
I talked with J.J. Abrams a lot about a possible anthology series of tiny horrors, King said during a panel about the duo's Apple TV Plus miniseries, Lizzie's Story. We got really down and dirty about it and talked about things that were really, really scary.
Oh, you mean like having to watch Forever Young and Maximum Overdrive back to back with no alcohol?
The prolific horror writer also previously worked with Abrams' Bad Robot Productions on the James Franco starring Hulu series 11-22-63 and the two-season anthology series Castle Rock, which was based on the shared universe of King's writing and executive produced by Abrams.
And I loved in 11-22-63 that Umbrella Academy crossover. It was so... Wait. I was watching that with Franco. Never mind.
This info was revealed at a panel for another King project. Lizzie's Story stars Julianne Moore, Clive Owen, Joan Allen, Dane DeHaan, Sung Kang, and Jennifer Jason Leigh. The series is expected to premiere on Apple TV Plus in summer 2021, with the Tiny Terrors slated to begin shortly thereafter. Or should, as long as they don't follow Scott Landon's madness and end up in Booyah Moon. Wait, you don't get... Read a book!
In addition to being a renowned chef, journalist, nonfiction writer, and TV host, the late, great Anthony Bourdain also wrote novels. In one of his books, a comedic crime thriller called Gone Bamboo... is becoming a TV series from producers Webster Stone and Robert Stone, whose credits include The Conspirator, Gone in 60 Seconds, The Negotiator. The story follows a former CIA-trained assassin who enters the Witness Protection Program, only to have his past come back to haunt him.
The journey is part of the experience, an expression of the seriousness of one's intent. One doesn't take the A-train to Mecca.
Fair point. There's no network or streaming service in place just yet, but Webster and Robert Stone have acquired the rights for the scripted series based on a pilot. The book was published in 1997 with Bourdain saying about it, "I wanted to write a sociopath beach book. I wanted a hero and heroine as lazy, mercenary, lustful, and free of redeeming qualities as I sometimes see myself."
Skills can be taught. Character, you either have or you don't have.
CIA-trained assassin Henry Dennard is looking for the good life when he retires with his wife Frances to the Caribbean. He may have botched his last job a little, allowed Donnie Wicks, the guy Jimmy Paz hired him to kill, to escape with his life, but Henry and Frances are determined to take it easy.
Nor will they let the sound of their own wheels make them crazy.
Then Donnie agrees to testify against Jimmy Paz and gets relocated by the Federal Witness Protection Program to St. Martin as well. Now Jimmy Paz is after both men, the mobster and the man he was supposed to kill him, and things in Henry's paradise are about to get a lot more complicated. And as we know, when that happens, assume the worst about everybody. But don't let this poisoned outlook affect your job performance. Let it all roll off your back. Ignore it. Be amused by what you see and suspect. Just because someone you work with is a miserable, treacherous, self-serving, capricious, and corrupt asshole shouldn't prevent you from enjoying their company, working with them, or finding them entertaining.
Paul Feige is ready to bring us another of his powerful lady team-ups. This time it's Kerry Washington and Charlize Theron playing best friends and the deans of the School of Good and Evil.
Twin towers like two heads, one for the pure, one for the wicked. Try to escape, you'll always fail. The only way out is through a fairy tale.
The movie is based on the best-selling series of the same name by Soman Chiani, which follows two best friends at a magical school where students are trained to become fairy tale villains and heroes. The BFFs, Sophie and Agatha, will be played by Sophia Ann Caruso and Sophia Wiley, which will not be confusing on the set in the slightest.
It doesn't matter if you're a never, ever, or whatever. In the end, the fairest of them all wins.
The friends are split between the good and evil portions of the school. Was this a mistake? Are they truly so opposite? Is something else going on? Almost likely. Their friendship will be put to the test in this thrilling and comedic story, where the only way out of a fairy tale is to live through one.
Only once you destroy who you think you are, can you embrace who you truly are.
Chiani's series has sold over 2.5 million copies and was translated into 30 languages across 6 continents. The final book, The School of Good and Evil, One True King, will be released by HarperCollins on June 2nd. Kerry Washington is Professor Clarissa Dovey, the Dean of the School of Good. And Charlize Theron is Lady Lesso, the Dean of the School of Evil. And much like my time as a student, trying to figure out which way to go. Charlize Theron, hands down.
The Lord of the Rings is not only one of the longest blockbuster film trilogies...
and longest runtimes.
But the franchise has also inspired the Guinness World Record holder for the largest interlocking plastic brick diorama at the Children's Museum, Smeared Land, in Shenzhou, Guangdong, China.
They said my Mobius strip actually had less pieces than I thought.
Created by 50 designers across 3 years with over 150 million bricks, the Lord of the Rings Lego diorama was inspired by the many battles that unfolded in the fantasy trilogy created by J.R.R. Tolkien, measuring over 2,060 square feet with plenty of settings from Middle Earth that you will recognize.
Even Eriador, the upper vales of Anduin, Fashashar, har, har, har. Bring it, Stephen Colbert.
Take a peek at the video in the show notes and you will clearly see the battles of Minas Tirith, Helm's Deep, and the Black Gate unfold with plenty of Uruk-hai soldiers ready for battle. But you will never see the Mulgar Braid brick you step on until it is far, far too late! Jim and the Creative Commons Attribution, not commercial, not derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Can check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, some of the website at geekerdata.com. Which is always a good time. And yeah, guess as many times as you want in a week. Well, I mean, no, I've opened that door now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can pull a plug if sure. You know, you get three. Three shots.
If you just like list every television show that's ever been made in a document and just keep sending that in, we're probably going to catch on to what I'm saying. Drop us a note, please, though. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. The voicemail, the text message, you just need the numbers.
510-GRD.
And it all works.
Doesn't anyone know how to turn off the program when they leave?
End of line.
It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad?
It's happening! Use the moves!
Mr. Turtle, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
I never made it without biting. Ask Mr. Owl.
Mr. Owl, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
Let's find out. One, two, three, three.
If there's anything I can't stand, it's a smart owl.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know.
The world looks mighty good to me, 'cause Tootsie Rolls are all I see.
Whatever it is I think I see
becomes a Tootsie Roll to me. Tootsie Roll, how I want your chocolatey chew. Tootsie Roll, I think I'm in love with you.
Whatever it is I think.